Well, I think we should start with a word of prayer. That'd be the best thing. Father, we give you thanks for the day. Thank you for the lovely sunshine. Thank you for the rain that we have enjoyed. And Lord, for the opportunity that we have to just come aside from earthly cares. And Lord, think about you and hear your word and see your word. And I pray that, Lord, we would give your word the respect it deserves in listening, in meditating, and Father, obeying. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in the days of Christ, centuries before him and probably a few centuries after him as well, when an army came up against a strong city with very high and strong walls, they knew that they had to attack the weakest point of that city. And for most cities, this meant the gates, those places of entry into the city. Gates were designed for people to go in and out of where walls weren't. And so generally, the gates were the weakest point of that fortified city. And so in most cases, they would focus their attack upon those gates. That's why they would get battering rams to try and knock the gates down. They'd send the arrows full of fire and other liquids to ignite them and to try and burn them down. And the enemy knew that if they had free passage through the city gates, well, then they'd be able to flood the city and take control of that place. And because of this, the people within knew that they had to make sure that they shored up the gates of the city and secured it as much as they possibly could, because if those gates were broken down, well, then the city would be lost and the enemy would take control. And so protecting the gates was essential. And the reality is, for all of us, is we are like a city. And the enemy wants to destroy us. Our enemy wants to destroy our mind and our soul and our body. And over the course of going to school, you should have learned that we have five senses, five areas whereby we're able to relate to this world, and the world, so to speak, is able to absorb into us. We have the sense of smell, and there are good smells and bad smells. We have the sense of touch, we have the sense of taste, and in a world like us, or in a country, there are a lot of nice tastes, unfortunately. And so there's plenty of things to taste. But the two senses that affect us the most in regards to our mind and our soul is definitely our sight and our hearing. You know, these are very important. These are the two main gates that the world has into our mind. What we see and what we hear goes straight into our mind, and it does affect us. And you can be sure, because of that, the enemy is going to set a lot of their attacks upon us in those two gates of our sight and also our hearing. The enemy knows that if he has free access into our mind through our eyes, through our ears, well, then he can take control of us, and we will become subject to him. And that's why it's important to guard the gates of the eyes and the ears. This is a gift that God has given us, but the reality is, if we allow the enemy to have free access through these gates, well, then the eyes and the ears can bring a lot of sorrow and bring great defeat for the Christian. In the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at our ears and our eyes in regards to the body, but we've been looking at the Lord's ears and what he hears. We've been looking at the eyes of the Lord and what he sees. But today I want to look at our eyes and our ears. The Lord's given most of us the gift of sight and the gift of hearing. All of us hear a little bit better than some, or less. Some see a little bit better than some, or so on. But this is something that we need to be very careful of. Great wisdom is needed in what we listen to and what we see. And these are two gates that must be very secure. And so that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. First one is our eyes. You know, from the moment we wake up, we begin to see things, don't we? And most of these things are usually okay to look at. You know, I'm thinking, first thing I probably see in the morning is the ceiling. I look up, my eyes finally open, I see the ceiling. Then I look over at the clock to see what time it is. And then, who knows the path that it goes from there to breakfast. I look at my breakfast, I look at the wardrobe, I see my family, I might look at the car, then I see the road, and then I see other cars, and so on. And the list goes on. We see an abundance of things every day from the moment we open our eyes. Thankfully, we have that privilege. But there's no doubt there are a lot of things that we must guard ourselves from seeing. There are particular things that God doesn't want us to see. And we need to shore up the gates of our city, so to speak, in our body, and make sure we don't allow certain things to come in through the gate of the eye. And it's good to be reminded of the importance of this, because it will affect our entire being. Now, you don't have to take my word for it. Over in Matthew chapter 6, if you turn there, please, we see here the Lord Jesus makes this very clear to us. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22, this is what the Lord Jesus says to his disciples. The light of the body is the eye. This is, so to speak, the window of the body. The way our body receives light is through our eyes. That is the gate into the soul. And he goes on to say, if therefore thine eye be straight, that is, if your eyes are fixed on the right thing, thy whole body shall be full of light. And so Jesus makes this little statement. He says, if your eye, the window basically to our whole body is our eyes, and if you're fixed on light, you're going to receive light. But then he looks at the opposite to this, the negative side. He goes on in verse 23, but if thine eye be evil, that is, if your eye is fixed upon evil things, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. And so we see here that it can affect our entire body. Goes on and says, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And so Jesus is saying, when your eyes are fixed on evil, then it's going to corrupt your whole being. Your mind will be corrupted, your thoughts will be corrupted, and then eventually your whole body, your actions will be corrupted as well. Jesus tells us the importance of our eyes. Don't kid yourself that you can look at violence, look at immorality or filth of some sort, either by watching it or reading about it, and think that it won't affect your mind and your body. It will affect how you see things in life. It'll affect your attitude towards just about everything. What we see affects us. Jesus said that. And so what is the solution to this? Well, we see here, even in these two verses, there are two parts to it. We need to make sure we don't look at the evil, and we have to make sure we look at the right things. Very basic. You know, the solution is, first of all, that you don't allow your eyes to see the wrong things. You know, in Matthew 5:29, Jesus said, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Now, if we took that verse literally, I guarantee each one of us will come here next week without any eyes. We all are offended through our eyes. There's a lot of temptation there, and particularly in our world today. But we see a principle here. Remove those things, those evil things that will cause us to sin. In Psalm 101, verse 3, David says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Now, we know that he didn't always do this, and we know that it affected his actions and his attitude in a terrible way. And the reality is, it's not just good enough to see something and be tempted by it and then try and resist that temptation. A far better way to approach temptation is to go one step before that, and that is put up safeguards so that you don't see those things in the first place. Don't set any wicked thing before your eye. And so that you don't even have to face that temptation. That's the best way to approach it. You know, that's why I like having NetNenny on my internet, or there are other internet filters as well. It just blocks a lot of stuff you shouldn't even have to see. It just blocks it before it even comes up. That's why I like having child locks on the TV. It blocks it even before you go through the process. That's why I like having even locks on my mobile phone. Or when I go to the surgery, doctor's surgery, I don't even want to pick up the magazines because I know I'll see things I shouldn't. These things are important. It's better not to even see things at the beginning. Our eyes are a precious gift from God, but they have the potential to destroy our mind and our soul and body and corrupt us to our very core. You know, Job understood this importance even back centuries ago. He said in Job 31:1, "I have made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid?" He knew it starts with the eyes and what you see. And so he made that promise before God that with his eyes he will not look upon ungodly things, and he'll keep his eyes for those things that are righteous. That's a good thing. That's a good attitude to have for all of us. But avoiding evil things is only half the solution, because we see here that we need to also be looking at light. It's not just a matter of not seeing the evil, but we need to be concentrating on the light. That is good things. We need to be having our eyes fixed on those things that God wants us to be fixing our eyes on. And the reality is there are a lot of good things that we can look at. It's not like we're starved of good things to see. And it doesn't just have to be things of the Word of God. There are lots of beautiful things out in our world that God has provided for us to see. Nature itself is a beautiful thing that God has given to us as a gift. From the animal world, to the plant world, to the oceans, to the seas, to the heavens. These are all creations of God that really are to allow us to consider God. Romans chapter 1 verse 20 says, "For the invisible things of Him," that's God, "from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made." You see, God gave us creation so that we're able to see a glimpse of Him. You want to see God? You can first see Him in creation. You know, we went down to Melbourne a few months ago and looked at aquariums, marine aquariums. And there are some amazing creatures out there in the ocean. Well, they're in a tank as well. But amazing little creatures. And they're beautiful colours. And it's just a little glimpse of a beautiful God and the amazing things that He has created for us to see. You get a microscope and you just look at blood, if anything else, and there is another little world there that tells us of an amazing Creator. And God has put these things there for us to enjoy, to be able to see, and also so that they may speak of Him. This shows us that there is someone far more beautiful, far more powerful than what we can see, and that is the Creator of the creation. Sadly, though, for the most of the part of this world, including us as well, we so often can fix our eyes on the creation rather than the Creator. And we want to behold only the creation, and we forget about the Creator Himself. In fact, often that's the last thing people want to see. I guarantee if you went down to the street, down to the mall, and you asked people, what do you think is the most beautiful sight in the world? You'd come up with a lot of different opinions. I'm thinking of some. I'd say some would say a suitcase full of $100 bills. Oh, what a beautiful sight that would be. Or a Ferrari parked in my driveway. What a beautiful sight. A big mansion looking over the ocean. That would be a beautiful sight. Maybe the Swans holding up the AFL Cup. Now, that is a beautiful sight. But is it the most beautiful sight? Of course not. Maybe if he was there with his wife, he would say his wife is the most beautiful sight he could ever hope to behold. Or a little baby. The list could go on. And these are beautiful in themselves in one way or another. But is that the most beautiful sight someone could ever behold? Well, you know, for some people, you know that that is the case because they put their whole life's endeavours and pursuits into be able to see these things so that they become a reality. They have their whole life's focus on being able to see that suitcase full of money or that mansion or that Ferrari or that person or whatever it may be. You know, the footballers, they spend their whole life pursuing that cup and being able to hold it up. This is the most beautiful thing they could ever see in their life. It's sad that there was, they were reporting that there was a lady, she was, I think, 103, and she followed the Swans all her life, or as long as they were in the thing. And this was before the grand final, and she said that if they win the grand final and she sees them hold that cup up, she will die a happy lady. Wow. Like, okay, I was happy too, but if that's going to make you be able to die happy, that's not that exciting. That's all that you think is, that's the best thing you can see in your life. And then you can die happy. There are far greater things than that to see. But that's the attitude that a lot of people have. And although these things may be beautiful to the Christian, there should be something far more beautiful. We found it, if you turn over to Psalm 27, verse 4. This is David speaking. King David in Psalm 27, verse 4. He says this, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple." One thing did he seek, and that was to dwell in the house of the Lord. Why? So that he may behold the beauty of the Lord. That was the one thing he was seeking after, the Lord and his beauty. And as I begin a word study to see what us as Christians should be wanting to see and trying to see, I realize that the predominant theme was the Lord. There are other things that we should see and shouldn't be seeing, but the predominant theme is the Lord. He is who we should be looking for and wanting to see. And I have to admit that I realize that my focus isn't always single. That is, all I want to see is the Lord. In everything I do, I want to see him. But that's what the Lord says we should be doing. You know, there's a song that we sing here in Sunday school. It's called "All That I Need." It's meant to be for the children. This is something for the children to know and to focus on. But when you listen to the words, you realize that it's not really a song for children. It's a word for adults because we struggle with it far more than children. And it has to do with our eyes. Let me read to you the first verse. "When I look around at all this world offers, I begin to crave the things that I see. I must keep my eyes on Jesus, my Savior. He has promised heavenly treasures to me." And the chorus goes, "All that I need is my faith in Jesus. All that I need is my home above. All that I need is my Father's mercy. All that I need is my Savior's love." I remember when our kids were attending the school up in Coffs Harbour, there was a thing in the community where every school could go and compete in some sort of singing contest. And there were hundreds of people there in attendance. And the children from our school sang this song with all the other schools there present. "All that I need is my faith in Jesus." And I thought, I wonder how the worldly people would receive that song. But you see, there's a world out there. and they are seeing the things that they see, and they are craving after them, and that is their treasure. And we as Christians shouldn't become like them. We have a Saviour and a treasure far more wonderful and beautiful that we should be seeking after. And these are the words of the Lord Jesus. You see, this is what he was exhorting. If you turn back to Matthew chapter 6, those two verses when he was saying that this is what our eyes should be focusing on. This is, and he gives this example that if we are focusing on light, our mind will be filled with light, but if we focus on evil, then our mind will, and whole body will be consumed with evil. This is the conclusion of an exhortation that Jesus is giving to his people. And it basically is the same as what that song is saying. Verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And then he goes on, the light of the body is the eye. And so on in verse 23. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. See, this is what the Lord Jesus is saying. Don't look at the things of this world and make them your treasure, because that's what you're going to be seeking after. I should be your treasure. Heavenly things should be your treasure. Seek and pursue and look at these things. Otherwise, you will be corrupted by this world. And that's what the Lord Jesus tells us. We should be wanting to see God. And if you want to see God, then the good news is he's told us how to see him. Now, we know we can see him in creation. But it doesn't end there. You know, in John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He also says in Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, that has two sides to it. That is, that if you are saved and born again and cleansed, there will be a day when you see God. And that's exciting. But also, it has the understanding of understanding the kingdom of God. If you are pure in heart and you're walking in the light, well, then you will understand and see God's kingdom even now. He will reveal himself to us. And so we have something that we can enjoy now. As David said, behold, there is one thing I have desired of the Lord, to behold his beauty. We can enjoy that now. And then one day we will get to see him in all his glory. But we should be pursuing it. You know, David said in Psalm 119, verse 18, Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Where did David want to first see the Lord? In his word. The law of God. And he said, Lord, open my eyes so I may see wondrous things. When was the last time your eyes looked at God's word? Has it been this week? Also, when you have looked at God's word, have you asked God to reveal wondrous things to you so you may behold him? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will understand the kingdom of God and see it. You know, in Colossians, we're told that the natural man, that is the unsaved man, receiveth not or understands not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them because they are spiritually concerned. This Bible is not just like any other book, it is a spiritual book. It is authorized by God himself. These are his words. Not only that, we need the Spirit of God to interpret them. And so the natural man, the unsaved man, looks at this, and a lot of it's just foolishness. And when you listen to the unsaved people talk about the Word of God, they prove that. They don't understand it. They read things. It doesn't make sense to them. They think it's all a load of hogwash. But to the saved person who has the Spirit of God enlightening, you see wondrous things. And we should be looking at the Word of God. Not only that, as a man whose goal is to see that suitcase full of money or that Ferrari in the carport or that mansion, and he pursues that all his life, we should be pursuing our Saviour. He should be what we're looking for and wanting to see. Now we're told in Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Who are you looking for? Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Philippians 3:20, for our conversation is in heaven. That's where we're really living. From whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. If you have a dream to see anything, what is it? When someone talks to you, what are you pursuing in life? What would you love to see? What is the most precious thing you'd like to see in life? If it's not the Lord Jesus, and your life shows that you are pursuing him, there are some problems. The world has infiltrated you through your eyes, and it has changed your mind and your attitude to things. When you have looked around the world, you have begun to crave the things you see, and that has become your treasure. And brethren, we need to make sure we shore up the gates of our eyes, because it is a gate where the world just so easily comes in, and it changes us from the inside. And it's not just the immorality, it's the dazzle and the glitz and everything else that we can see. And it will affect us. And it can be the downfall. The lust of the eyes can be the downfall of everyone. No one is immune from it, and so we must guard them well. And we do that by not setting any wicked thing before us and looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so that's the first thing, our eyes. I believe that's the most important gate to shore up. The second one, I believe, is the ears. The ears are a little bit different, though. We can't shut our ears like we can shut our eyes. At least if you find yourself somewhere and there's something that you shouldn't see, you can at least close your eyes. We don't have little ear. What do we call them? Eyelids? Earlids. We don't have earlids. Be handy. We just got to do that, I guess. But we generally hear what we're surrounded by. Sometimes it's important to be surrounded by the right things. But sometimes it's not that easy. But the reality is, there is no doubt that our generation has far more choices to what we hear than any other generation. We need to be realizing that. We can hear more things for longer than any other generation has been in the past. There was a day when if you wanted to listen to someone, you had to go and hear them face to face. Otherwise, you didn't get to hear them. You know, the New Testament believers weren't able to download onto their iPods messages of the Apostle Paul when he was preaching over at Antioch, and then they can listen to his messages on the way to work. They couldn't do that. If they wanted to hear the Apostle Paul, they had to go and hear him face to face, or they never got to hear him. If the believers wanted to listen to music, they had to go and hear it performed live. They didn't have CDs in their chariots where they can listen to a bit of music on the way to work or as they walked along the road. They didn't have the iPods playing as they go. Imagine poor old the Lord Jesus if those disciples could have their little iPods playing, you know, and they're all got the little earphones like the kids do today. And he can't talk to them. They're too busy listening to everything else. You know, when you're in the markets back then, they didn't have the PA systems with music blaring away, or when they're sitting in the doctor's surgery having music that you don't really want to listen to as well. The world is a lot noisier today than it's ever been before. I often wonder, how come I don't hear the Holy Spirit just talk to me? You know, the Lord says, be still and know that I'm God. But the reality is we make our world very noisy. We want noise on while we're at home, we're in the car, we want noise on. When we're walking, go for a walk, we want noise in our ears, we want noise all the time around us. I don't think he can ever get through the noise. Sometimes I'm sure he is speaking to us, but we just can't hear him. You know, you can be in the middle of the bush, no one around, and still have things in your ears and someone speaking to you. And just like our eyes, our ears send information straight into our mind that does affect our whole outlook on life. Let me explain. If you have someone telling you regularly bad things about somebody else, I'll guarantee that when you see them, you'll think bad things about them because that's what you've heard. You've heard bad things about them, and so when you see them, you think bad things about them. And that's why I believe it's very important that parents, particularly, we need to be careful that we don't say anything bad about people, but we do at times. But we're doing even greater injustice to our children when we say it in earshot of them because then they form the same opinions of that person as well. When they hear something, it affects their attitude. If someone grows up regularly hearing that they're useless, they're hopeless, they're no good, regardless if they are useless or not, they will believe they are. Parents, it's very important what we tell our children about themselves because they believe what they hear. And we have to be very careful with the world of technology. We have to be careful who we listen to with that technology, what we listen to with that technology, and I believe even how much we listen to with this technology. Question is, what do you allow through the gates of your ears? Do you allow to hear godless music with godless lyrics? Hour after hour? You know, I can't understand why some people will fill their mind with fleshly music and then they wonder why they're always struggling with the flesh. You know, don't expect to seek after the Spirit of God and have victory over the flesh if you pour fleshly music into your ears continually. It just doesn't work that way. We need to be careful what we listen to. Do you allow yourself to hear unsaved radio announcers and their opinions hour after hour? Regardless of what you think, their opinions will affect you and start to form your attitude towards various things. We're told that we're not to listen to worldly wisdom. We need to be careful how much of that we listen to. Goes with the TV shows that we watch. You know, we live in a world of technology, but we need to make sure of what we're listening to. Are we listening to godly things, godly preaching, godly music with godly lyrics? Good things that will build us up. God has given us an ear to hear and the ability to listen. But God tells us not to listen to gossip, not to listen to filthy language, not to listen to false teaching, not to listen to worldly wisdom. We still need to guard it. Just because there is that option of listening to it doesn't mean that we should be listening to it. You know, we have the sense of taste. But there are some things we don't want to taste. And we stay away from those things. There is rat poison. It may taste nice, but we don't want to taste it. I could taste, and so I might see what this one is as well. No, we have sense in that regard. And just because we have the ability to hear doesn't mean, well, there's something over there, I might go and hear that. No, we need to guard our hearing just as much as all the other senses. And sometimes I believe we as Christians can act like those people who are defending a city against an army that has come up against them. We have high, strong walls. They have a repertoire of weapons to fire at the enemy. They have high towers and they're looking out. And as they're looking out, they look down and they see that the gates are wide open and the enemy's flooding in. And they think, oh, that's all right. It doesn't matter. We have strong walls and high towers and we have lots of weapons. We'll be right. That doesn't matter. Now, we know that's ridiculous. But we as Christians, we know that we're in a battle against for our soul and our mind, and we have high, strong towers. We have high standards, good routines. We go to church. We read God's word. We pray. We have godly friends. We have great weapons. We know the word of God. We have all the answers to things. But then we allow the gates of our ears and our eyes to be wide open for anyone to come in. And the world, the flesh, and the devil just pulls through our eyes and our ears. And we look at it and think, that's all right. Because I have high towers. And I have strong walls. And I have lots of weapons. I'll be okay. I'll be able to handle it. It won't matter. And the enemy comes in and he changes us from within. And it's not true. Our Savior has told us that these things that we see and hear will affect us. And so we have the responsibility to shore up these gates of our body. The things we see and the things we listen to, and withstand the attacks of the evil one. Otherwise, the world will flood in, reign over us, and become a cause of great sorrow to us. You know, we're told in Romans 16, verse 19, I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. You know, if you want to read something and look at something and hear about something so that you can be very wise about it, read and hear and listen to things that are good. There are lots of good things in this world, and there are things that are godly. And now, I believe you can, because it's good, it's still godly. It might be reading about the plant life, but there are good things. These are things God has given us. But fill your heart and mind with these things. But we're told here that we are to be simple towards evil. We're not to be well-read and well-watched and well-learned over evil things. No, we're to be simple about those things. What? That evil? I've never thought of that. We're to be simple about these things. And wise towards good things. So the question is, when it comes to this wonderful gift of your ears and your eyes, how have you been protecting them as gates into your soul? Observe this week what you allow to come in through the gates of your eyes. See if they are wicked or not. Listen. Observe what you allow to come into your ears. And see if these are the things of God or not. Regardless if it's music, conversations, things you listen to, whatever it is. I think we need to be more careful. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Lord, you have given us this gift. Some don't enjoy it. I pray that we would use it wisely, knowing that, Lord, we also have to give an account for these gifts that you have bestowed upon us. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.